Chapter 10. At school, it was getting harder and harder to avoid Daniel Green. One lunchtime, he came over and put a handful of sand all over my food. My stomach clenched and I got a lump in my throat. I didn't want to cry in front of him, but I was really hungry, and that sandwich from last night's leftover chicken was really tasty, and my mouth had been really looking forward to it. I quickly imagined H2O swooping down from the clouds to hover right behind Daniel. I made H2O pull a totally unimpressed face and blow steam all over Daniel's head, and Daniel had no clue. That made me laugh, and through my giggles, I said loudly, "Thanks, Daniel. Now I truly have a sandwich." A few people around us started laughing too. Sarah and Ellie, girls from our class, were sitting at the lunch table next to ours, and they were giggling like crazy. Daniel stood there, towering over me, with his podgy fist closed tight. His face was redder than his t-shirt, and he was clenching his teeth together tightly. I pictured him as a Rottweiler dog, baring his sharp teeth ready for a fight. At this point, I realised that being smart with a bully wasn't very smart at all. Charlie must have realised this too, because he'd been sensible enough not to laugh, and now he looked like a frightened little lamb. I quickly muttered the protection duo under my breath. Then there was a loud growling sound, and Daniel was launching his head towards my stomach. I don't know how, but I managed to throw myself onto the floor out of his way. It was all very fast. Daniel's head went into my empty chair, with his huge body following. The force sent the chair flying into the girls behind us, followed by a very big, very angry body that ended up on top of Sarah. I probably don't need to tell you that Daniel was in big fat trouble. He spent 1 hour in Mr. Barnes's class as punishment. Mr. Barnes has a moustache. A big one. It looks like it could come alive on his face like a slithering slug. By home time, Daniel was back. He still looked angry, and as we queued up to leave the classroom, he stood behind me and breathed down my neck. "Don't think I don't know the worst thing about you. You're Muslim. I saw your mum the other day, looking like a witch dressed in black. You better go back to your country." I didn't say a word. I just gulped. "Before we kick you out." How could anyone think my mum looked like a witch? If I'd been braver, I'd have told Daniel he was stupid not to be able to tell the difference. Witch versus mum. Witches. Eat kids for dinner. Poisonous wart. Has no hair under wig. Scowls. Ugly due to horrid thoughts. Mum. Would never harm a kid. Wart, if present, is not poisonous. Has lots of hair under scarf. Smiles. And is beautiful due to lovely thoughts. On the way home, I couldn't stop thinking about what Daniel said. Before they kick us out? What? I thought about talking to Mariam about him. Maybe she could help and tell me what to do without having to tell our parents. I know they'd all get stressy and worried and make a big fuss at school, and that would definitely just make Daniel worse. Mariam might be annoying, but she used to stand up for me back when I was a really little kid and we still went to the same school. But then I remembered the time just before we moved that I was quietly trying to get away with going over my screen time limit in my room, and Dad came stomping in like a giant who had just stepped on an enormous drawing pin. I could practically see the steam coming out of his ears. He had discovered the TV remote was missing its batteries. I froze. I didn't move and I didn't say a word. I imagined I was a spider playing dead when someone's trying to smack it with a slipper. Then Mariam came in with her huge pointy finger of accusation. "He did it!" It was true. I had desperately needed them for my controller. I got into so much trouble that day, I was banned from video games for a month. Mariam is a complete snitch these days. No, I couldn't trust her.